All right, so we are doing a series on staying the path, staying the course, staying on the journey of the Christian faith. And so I thought I'd teach a little bit on that too. And you know, I'll be honest with you, all of us, at one time or another in our life, once we've accepted Christ, can choose to go off the path. I could have chosen. I promise you, when I moved to the United States, it probably took me, in fact, I met a little girl at Fruitive yesterday who's from New Zealand, and you know, we were talking a little bit. She's moved here. She's married to a guy in the Navy, so she's been living here for a few months. And she said, you know, we're talking, I said, I've lived here for 18 years. And she said, do you miss home? And I said, you know what? Home is here. Home is here. And so, but I promise you, 18 years ago, there were a lot of moments when I didn't want home to be here. I'll be honest with you. I'm like, I want to just tick it. I remember my first trip back to Australia, a year and a half after being here, as the plane flew over Sydney and landed, I just started sobbing. Oh my gosh, this is my city where I grew up in. But you know what? I look back at that little girl and go, that's okay. You're going to be okay. You're going to do this. Jesus has been with me every step of the way. So I promise you, me included, all of us will have an opportunity to choose to go off our path. And I want to speak to us this morning and say, stay on your path. Stay on it. So a couple of reasons, I'm just going to share 3 points this morning on, well, firstly, before I get onto my points, hey, listen, have you seen, typically we don't get up here and rave about movies, but I'm going to rave about a movie. Has anyone seen Hidden Figures? Now, listen, if you're free this afternoon, I want you to go to the cinema, if it's still in the cinema. I'm, you know, things come and go so quick now. But I want you to go and see Hidden Figures. It is an outstanding movie. Outstanding. And it's about three remarkable African-American women. But I promise you, and there's some messages of race, of culture, of status, of women. I promise you, I walked out of there going, I want to be more excellent. I want to live a life that is more excellent. I want to be smart. These women were smart. I don't want to give it away. But seriously, you got opposition in your life, you go see that movie. It'll speak to you because it'll help you go. These women stayed their path. And because of that, our science program, or not science program, what do you call it? Space program. It's kind of science, but anyway, started with S, right? Our space program became what it became because of some outstanding women who until now I've never known about. Maybe you guys knew about, but I haven't. And I just was like, whoa. So awesome. So listen, reasons why we don't stay on our path. A couple of reasons. First thing is when we just don't understand. When we just don't understand. When we just don't get what God is doing or where he is. Or has he vanished? Or does he even know I exist? Anyone felt like that? God, do you even, hello, no. And isn't it true that we always go down this because, you know, our humanity is very real. Don't we always kind of go, but God, I've done this for you. Isn't that what we do? God, I've done this for you. And how could you just dump me and leave me in this spot? Because we always want an explanation. When someone loses a loved one too soon, don't we want to, well, God, because we're a... And you know what? Sometimes there's never going to be an answer this side of heaven. And as women of God, can we go, you know what, Jesus, I trust you enough to be okay with that. Even though it hurts and I don't understand what is going on right now, I choose to trust. That's a big deal. Staying the path is really a choice of a lot of things, but one of the biggest things is choosing to trust. Jesus, amidst all the chaos, I trust you. You just have to turn your news channel on this morning. And, you know, if you listen to it, I just want to encourage us, you know, there's not a lot of news. Anyway, just be praying for our nation and the nations of the world, because the world is crazy. But if I choose to watch that and let that go over and over in my head and then let it get in my heart, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got grandchildren coming into this world. What's going to happen? And then I have to pull it back and understand that, well, I'm on planet Earth for such a time as this, and my grandchildren are on planet Earth for such a time as this, and we're equipped and wired to do this life, and so they will be too. Isn't that true? So we're going to look at a little bit of scripture this morning, and I just think about good old Peter. Good old Peter. Love him. So I'm going to pick it up in Luke 22, 33 to 34. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Remember, the disciples are the 12 men he picked to do life with for 3 years. Imagine that. You get picked to essentially do life with God. You got to do life with God. Wow. Okay. So anyway, easy to get distracted here. So Peter, Jesus is telling, he's trying to explain to them, trying to explain to these 12 who didn't get it sometimes. They were as thick as bricks, weren't they? But you know what? If I was there, I'd be thick too. I'd be like, what are you talking about? What do you mean you're going to die? What's going on here? Yeah. So anyway, Peter, Jesus tells him, hey, this is what's going to happen. And Peter goes, his Bible says, he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, that before the rooster crows 3 times today, you will deny 3 times that you know me. Then let's go down to verse 60, 62, and we see that Jesus has been arrested during this time, and the crowd is anti-Jesus. I mean, they are going at him. They want him crucified. And Peter is confronted. 3 times he's confronted. Oh, we saw you with that man. And here's the humanity of Peter. And girls, I don't know if you see yourself in there, and we'd like to think, no, we would go to the... But in the moment, would our faith fail us? So Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Imagine God looking into you. Oh. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken him, before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Can you imagine that moment? Imagine a man, a strong, muscular man, weeping bitterly. Not weeping tears of sadness because I've lost a friend or a maid, or bitterly, I have let God down. What have I done? Then Peter realizes Jesus is arrested, he's crucified, and he dies. And in that moment, or in those days following, let's just think about what Peter's life looked like. Here's a man who loved him. He was impulsive. When Jesus said run, he was running so far ahead, it was like, Peter, just come back. I just didn't want you to run over there. I just wanted you to run a little bit here. He was, as soon as Jesus said the word, he was out the gate before he got the full instruction. And now his whole life has been turned upside down. He's watched Jesus perform miracles. I mean, he's seen the dead raised to life. I mean, come on. He's seen people miraculously healed. He's seen 5,000 people. Listen, 5,000 people fed with a basket of food. There was just, I saw it. I saw the basket of food, and Jesus fed all of them. And now everything looked so amazing. We were seeing miracles and it was just incredible. And now he's gone. How could that have happened? And I'm part. Maybe he blamed himself. I'm part of that. I didn't stand up for him when I shoulda, coulda. Ugh. And so Peter returns to the Sea of Galilee. Now, all what's happening around Jesus' crucifixion is happening in Jerusalem. The Sea of Galilee is about a 2-hour, would you say, Peg? We've been there, about a 2-hour car ride from Jerusalem. You have to understand there were no cars in that time, so they're walking it. So Peter and a few of the disciples walk back to the Sea of Galilee, and guess where they go? They go back to what they were doing before they encountered Jesus. Because they didn't understand. They didn't get it. They couldn't figure out, Peter especially, I've let God down and now he's dead and we had this and I don't know what's going on in my life and I want to die, probably. So he's back and he goes fishing. And so this is where we pick up amazing, like you just have to see his humanity. He is raw and real. The Bible says we're going to pick it up in John 21, verses 1 through 12. And I think the guys are going to put it up on the screen. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus has risen from the dead, but he hasn't gone to heaven yet. And he goes out to see his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, so Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. They're hanging out, maybe talking over the events that had just taken place. Maybe Peter's telling them, hey guys, I failed. So anyway, Simon Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And they said, we'll go with you. Let's do something. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. There he is. He's on the shore. I think we've got pictures. Guys, can you throw up the two pictures? Because we were just at the Sea of Galilee. Ah, there we are. Peggy's part of that team. Who else is here? That was Kim. You were part of that team. Any of the other girls that were? Michelle, that's right. There we are on the sea. That's the gorgeous Sea of Galilee. And there we are standing on what is believed to be the place where Jesus stood. And he's waiting and for the disciples. They're coming in. They're just about 100 yards off shore. And we're standing right there. Isn't it beautiful? Apparently when the weather's bad, it's pretty crazy out there, but it's picturesque. So that's where Jesus is standing. Imagine that. He's standing there and he calls out to them. And this is what he says. Friends, have you any fish? Or haven't you any fish? And in that moment where, I don't know, if you'd denied you knew someone, if you betrayed someone, if you had failed God, would you expect him to stand there and be like, friends? But that's where Jesus meets us when we don't understand. He meets us right where we are. And he extends his hand to us and he says, friend, I've been with you all the way. I know you haven't understood, but I promise you, I know it makes me, oh, I'm such a crier. Because I just imagine Peter just, I don't get what's just happened. I just don't get it. And yet, so anyway, they don't know it's him yet. They just said, no, they answered. So they're coming back in. They've been out all night. These are fishermen. They know what to do. I promise you, there are certain times, I don't understand fishing, but I know there's certain times you go out and you're expected to catfish. And then there's other times you go, no, we're just not going to go because it's tides and all this nonsense. I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, I'm sure they went out expecting or hoping. No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. Oh my gosh, Peter, it's Jesus. And look at Peter as we all take in a deep breath because we're going to cry as we're watching this movie. Imagine watching this in a movie cinema and you're like, ugh. As soon as Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. Impetuous Peter. I go, Jesus, Jesus, you just called out friend, really? I'm still your friend. Right, deep breath. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter, without a hesitation, climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Wow. And girls, this morning, I just want to say to you, when you don't understand, when you feel like you have let God down, when you have made some decisions or choices or even things that have come out of your mouth that you thought, I never thought I would think like that. I never thought I would hear those words come out of my mouth. That Jesus is standing right there on the shore with his hand extended. Friend, how's it going? It's not going so good. Hey, listen, I got a plan. It's going to meet you right where you are. It's going to look differently to what you thought. You know, about a month ago, Steve and I were, we take a couple, usually about 10 days at the beginning of every year just to pray for the year. And so we were out of town, and he had some issues with his iPhone, and so we just walked past an Apple store, and he's like, you know what, I'm just going to go in and see if they can fix it. And so we went into the store, and you know how now you have to go to a point person, and the point person, and normally if you want to see a genius person at the genius bar, you have to come back a couple hours later or the next day, because they're usually, you know, Apple's busy, right? Anyone be at the Apple store, you know how busy they are. Which is, it's, you know what's so funny? Because I've been to the Apple store to get things fixed a couple times. Now every time I go near that Apple store, I get a text message. Oh, come into our store and see. Isn't that clever? I'm like, yeah. So my phone gets an instant text if ever I'm near the flipping Apple store. I'm like, yeah, we need that for church. When you drive by, yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? Welcome to Wave Church. Just come in the driveway. We are waiting for you. That is awesome. You belong here. Yeah. We should do that, Rach. But anyway, all that to say, they could see him straight away. So I'm in the Apple store. And you know how when you're not really interested in anything in the Apple store, you kind of walk around, you know, just kind of look. And so I'm trying to figure out, what am I going to do, you know? And anyway, so I'm just looking at this iPad, and apparently you can write on it now and it translate, types it or whatever. Anyway. This girl who works at Apple came over and started talking to me. Are you interested? You know, and because I had an accent, and you know, she started talking to me. And you know, where are you from? And then you know, I said, oh, I live in the United States now. I've been here for 18 years. And she said, what do you do? What brought you to America? And I said, well, actually, my husband and I moved to pastor a church. We're pastors. We live on the East Coast. And that's what we do. And her countenance changed fully, totally, which can happen, you know. And she said, I used to go to church. I said, oh, really? And we talked for a little bit, and her manager was kind of hovering, like, what are you doing? Are you selling something? Or, you know, what's going on here? And she just kept kind of talking, and I'm like, okay, and Steve's still at the genius bar, so I got nowhere else to go. And she proceeded to tell me that she was part of a church, and she was very involved, and the pastor had sexually abused her. And so I'm in the middle of this Apple store, and Steve's at the genius bar, and I'm just like, oh my, and then she started sobbing in the store, and I'm like, okay, the manager's over here, you know, what's, and in that moment, I just thought, Jesus, help me. And so we just kept talking, and I just said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That should never, ever, ever have happened. I am so sorry. And so we just kept on talking, and I said, I promise. And she said, I have asked God, where were you? Because I gave she's 28 years old, gorgeous, Korean, beautiful, stunning girl. I gave all this time, and I served in church, and God, how could this happen? And I just said, I have no answer for you, except it's not right and should never have happened. And that Jesus' heart breaks for you. And so all the while I'm thinking, God, this is an opportunity here. I believe in that moment, and isn't it always the way when you kind of least expect it and when you're like, what's good, you know, that God just sent this little girl across my path. And so all I just was praying as I'm speaking to her, God, help me lead her home. She needs to come back to you and she needs to be plugged into our healthy church, a community of believers that will love her. And, you know, and so she talked to me and said, I'm going to counseling and I've got this boyfriend and, you know, he's getting counseling too because he was in the same scenario and he was kind of manipulated mentally and emotionally. And I said to her, you know, I'm not from here, but we have some dear friends who pastor a great church. And we're actually having dinner with them in two days. And I said, would you be okay if I just say to my friend, you know, talk to her about you, and would you meet with her? I said, because Jesus is the only way, and you need a church community. And I'm sorry that you were involved in this that was so wrong and unhealthy. And she goes, I just don't trust. And I said, you know what? I totally understand. I totally understand. I said, but look, I just believe God has sent me into this store for this time to talk to you. Will you? And she agreed. So we switched. And again, the manager's coming over and he's looking and she's like, okay, can you just pretend you're interested in this? So I'm signing up for something. I don't know what it is. I didn't exchange money, so that's all good. But I started getting emails. I'm like, look, let's just, because this little girl's life is at stake, critical time. And so 2 days later, we have dinner with our friends. And they had actually, the pastor's not, well, he's not even worthy of that name and he's been removed. But they had knew of the scenario. And so, you know, they connected and my gorgeous friend Lisa met with this girl. And so she called me just 2 weeks ago and said, just to let you know, I met with her. The full story is, when she kind of elaborated, I just wanted to grab the guy and punch it. You're like, just like, ugh, you know, how dare you? How dare you? And she said, and Lisa said, I just said to her, will you forgive me? I'm asking for your forgiveness. And the girl said, but you didn't do anything. She said, no, but I'm standing in proxy for all the pastors who stand in the pulpit every week and never, ever want to see anything like this happen. Will you forgive us? Will you accept our, and apology. That's it. Thanks, Sandy. And she just started to cry. And so she's now started to be back in church and she's on this journey of reconnecting with Jesus. You know, stuff happens. There's no excuse for that happening. There's no explanation for that. When things happen in our lives that we don't understand, I got the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus standing on the shore. How are you, friend? And out came all this stuff. And maybe you've got stuff going on in your life that you're like, oh, I just need the extension of Jesus. Or maybe you need to be that hand to someone. How are you, friend? I want you to know I'm the hands and feet of Jesus for you as we get you on this journey. Because stuff happens, there's no answer for it, we can't rationalize it away, and it has the ability to take us off course of what God has for her. And I just started to talk to her about how much Jesus loved her. Identity was only ever going to be found in him. And so she's on this journey. She's emailed me a couple of times and they live a long way away, but I'm just praying for her. All right, number two, we got to get through this. Whew, that's a lot already. All right, we'll just be quick. Second point, offenses. Offenses. We talk about it. We hear about it. I'm sure when I said offenses, you're like, oh, yeah, Oh yeah, we know all that. Yeah, we do. But guess what? They rear their head. The middle school girl wants to come back, doesn't she? She wants to rise up. Doesn't she? Yeah, if we're not careful, she can rise up in all of us. All right, when we don't get our way, when we let things get in our heart, maybe it's the way we look at things, our perspective that needs shifting, maybe we need to go and talk to someone. You know what I've discovered is when you're honest, when you have a really yucky feeling, you know, when you just know, I'm just not thinking right and I just got a bad attitude and I've just got an offense and my heart is just, yeah, it's not good. What do we try and do? Cram it down, hide it, and just go, oh, hi, you know? Who are our internalizers? Internalizers? Yep, that's me. Me. Who's an externalizer? Who, yeah. You're like, wah, blah, 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 yeah. Oh, just nearly fell over. You know what, though? Look at this scripture, Mark 9, 33 to 35. This is the disciples. These are men. Okay, so it's not just the girls, these are men. Bible says they came to Capernaum, or Capernaum, or however you want to say it. Who is this? These are the disciples, the 12 guys we were talking about that did life 3 years with God. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? So they come into a house and they sit down and Jesus goes, by the way, I heard you guys arguing back there. What were you arguing about? And listen to what they said, but listen what the word of the Bible says. But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Does it make you feel a little bit better? These are 12 men that did life with God himself and they still screwed it up, right? Royally. It's like you just want to go, guys, you were one of 12 people that did life with God himself. Like, what is wrong with you? Ah. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 together and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. I just want to, again, I'm going to get the team to come back up because I got to finish. You know what? The offense thing never stops till we go to heaven. I promise you. You know, I've been doing this journey for 30-something years, can't even remember now. And you're like, oh, okay, yep, I just got through that one. I think I'm good. Anyone else think like that? Oh, I'm good, yeah. I think I've had all things thrown at me, I'm good. And then randomly, something from left field, curveball. And you're like, oh my gosh, flip. I've got to do this again, right? Get my heart right. Keep a good spirit in it all. And you know what, girls? This is what I want to tell you, because we're all going to deal with this. And again, it's never going to go away. It's going to be the best friend that you thought could never hurt you. It's going to be a family member. It's going to be a lot of people. But I just want to tell you, just be honest. Just go to someone. You know what? Just a week or two ago, I was having coffee with a dear friend who's in her 60s. She pastors, amazing, amazing leader. And she told me this story. She said, you know, I've had this friend for probably 20 years. And she's still my friend. But over that 20 years, yep, we are stopping. Over the 20 years, I've done all the inviting. Whenever we've gone out somewhere, I'm the one that was, you know, I'm doing the inviting. Anyone understand what we're, yeah. Some of you are the inviters and some of you are the invite. I'm an invitee. I'm really bad at inviting. So if I don't invite you somewhere, I just don't think of it. I'm just being real honest, okay? But anyway, so my girlfriend is, now she's in her 60s, okay? And she said, so I come into work environment and I see this friend that I've done all the inviting to. Okay, let's do this. She's always on board and she always does it. But she's inviting my daughter to go out somewhere and saying, oh, it'd be great, we'll have so much fun. And she said, I walked by and my feelings were hurt. And she said, and I came home and isn't this what we do? That's it. Okay, I'm not inviting her anymore. Yeah. Isn't that what we do? I'm not going to invite her. If she wants to invite that, 60s, right? I'm 50s, I know that. It doesn't go away. We still can get our feelings hurt. Just being raw and real. Because you know what? We're never on this journey of staying the path. If we're not just, yeah, that hurt my feelings. And so she said she came home and she was talking to her husband. And she said, she explained the scenario. And I know her husband well. And he looked at her and he went, well, you got two options. You can totally do what you're saying you're going to do. Now, you're not going to shut her out, but you're going to go, okay, that's just going to change the friendship. Or he said, you can think about, in 10 years' time, what do you want this friendship to look like? Just words of wisdom, boom. And she said, I realized, just grow up. Just get over it. Isn't it awesome that she wants to take your daughter out? Stop getting, you know what I mean? And I just want to encourage all of us. There's times when you're going to get your feelings hurt and it could be legitimate or it could be not. It could be just, you know, you're having a hormonal day and someone looked at you the wrong way or whatever, or your hair was out of... I mean, really, sometimes it can be that simple, or it can be a real legitimate thing. Just tell someone. Don't hold on to this stuff because it goes deep in our heart and in our spirit and it begins to rule our life. And we were on this path going this way and this thing's starting to weigh us and we're kind of over here a little bit and we're not engaged as much as we should be. And when people invite us, we're like, no, well, they didn't invite me last time, so I'm not going this time. Girls, we got to be better than that because that's how the world behaves. And Jesus said, no, 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 I've come that you have abundant life, that you would soar in this life. And that means that when things happen you don't understand, you trust me and you understand I'm on the shore waiting. And that you don't harbor stuff in your heart. And so I'm just going to get the team, just, can we just sing it as well? Because I just love that. Isn't that beautiful? And just let's stand, girls, together. And let's just sing, it is well with my soul.